If you've been with us over the last few weeks, this is the journey you've been on. We learn about making Jesus Lord. How many of you would say that after this couple weeks, you feel like Jesus is just like a little more Lord of your life, a little bit more boss of your life? Couple nods. Sometimes there's that bit of guilt when I do something, when I buy something, when I say something. It's, hey, is Jesus down with us, or is this just me being nuts? We learned about having daily devotions, and anyone missed a day, put your hand up with me if you've missed a day in the last few weeks. I have. I was in Cape Town this week, and I was in with a family. We got to bed at 12:30 at night, was out at 6 a.m., and the having daily devotions wasn't the most important thing on my agenda that morning. And so I was like, yo, Lord, you understand, I'm out of here. And that happens sometimes, so what do you do? It's best to cut yourself, get a like a belt, hit yourself on the back, and 100 press-ups. No, you're just like, hey, I'm going to do better next day, okay? It's not guilt. It's not legalism. Practicing God's presence, so wherever you are, whether you're on an airplane that's about to crash, whether someone next to you is coughing like a dying animal, might be swine flu, you're like, Lord, kill him, nuke him, incinerate him, and then you just go, poof. There was a guy on our plane that I did that to, and there was nothing left. I saw a mum running around screaming, but it's a great way to use God's presence. And then living by faith to move mountains, you know, if the plane is going to crash into a mountain, you just speak to the mountain, be moved, and you just fall into the hole, which is bumpy as well. So you just need to also speak faith to have like a cushy landing. Otherwise, it's not so good. So sometimes we move mountains. Sometimes we climb them. It's the wisdom to know, is this a climber? Is this a mover? We learned about handling our money wiser. How many of you are like a little bit more wealthy after the last few weeks? Well, maybe paydays this week for most of us. But if you honor God with your pocket money, put that first bit toward God, spend the rest wisely, you remember all those principles. Last week, we looked at becoming a disciple maker, and we learned that Christians are disciples. Disciples copy Jesus, they grow spiritually, and they make other disciples. It was a bit of a wake-up call that, oh, is that what I got myself in for when I decided to follow Jesus? And yeah, that's the whole deal, okay? So maybe you were told, come to Jesus, you'll be happy and smile your whole life. No, actually, you're here to copy Jesus, grow spiritually, and make disciples. And that's your lifelong adventure. No matter what your job or your calling, whether you're a soccer guru, bit disappointing last night, but holding Spain 2-0, I thought we were all over them for a large part of the game, even though they had 64% of the possession. And even those soccer players, their real calling, if they're Christians, is to honor God. And if you're a postman, you're there to make disciples, businessmen, whatever. Do you remember the addition idea last week? If we add 1, 1, 1, 1, we're going to be here forever. We'll never turn the world around. But if I touch one and they touch a couple and their Chinas touch their Chinas into global warming, it's incredible. It works with Hunter's Dry. We also learned that we must stay near the door. Why? Because that's where they sell Hunter's Dry. No, silly. Because if you go too deep, you forget about people that are like at the door, trying to find their way into the kingdom. So some of us need to become monks and nuns, but the rest of us need to stay by the door and show people how to find Jesus. And that was a great challenge. So today, with the new funky logo for our developing spiritual family, we're going to be doing the last of the Grow Book. How many of you are glad we're at the end? No, you want more. Oh, we were going to shut down at the end of this term, not do youth anymore next term, because we feel like you all growed up. You know, it's like you left the house. Okay, maybe next term we'll think about some stuff. Watch this space for godly relating next term. What's that all about? How do we do it? How do I hook up in a Jesus-blessed way? You know, what is it? Where are we going? So maybe that's where we're going Sunday morning. We'll know that depending on what comes up in the next our plan. Next session. So I was driving home yesterday from the Change Agents conference that happened in this room, and a young guy, Lloyd, that I gave a lift home, grew up in Westbury, and he was on a soccer team, and there was lots of drugs, and the only way for him to survive was to join a family. And the family was one of the notorious gangs in Westbury. And it was a rocky road for him. But he used the word family in connection with gangs. And it was really interesting because I had lined up to play this clip for you all today. If someone asked you tomorrow, hey, would you join my gang? 17, second largest gang in the world. I might be tempted to join to get. Turn to someone next to you and tell them why you might be tempted and what you'd be looking for in the gang. We're going to get some lessons about family from a few places. We've already visited the gang world. Well, let's visit space, shall we? Anyone want to go to space? Haley is following an astronaut's Twitter. You know, everyone knows about Twitter. You send 140 characters and it goes out to everyone on the internet and stuff, and you can do it from your mobile phone. It's the big new thing. If you're not on Twitter, you're nobody. You has been if you're on Facebook. No, that's not true, I think, because there's things that Facebook does that Twitter can't do. But it's, and she's tracking this dude that's like around the world. Well, let's go and visit this chap, Don, and this is how the story goes. There was once a spaceman named Don Astronaut. Don Astronaut lived on a space station in space. Don Astronaut had a special spacesuit that kept him alive without water or oxygen. It recycled body fluids. I'll say no more about that. One day, there was an accident. But nobody's government came to rescue Don Astronaut because it would cost too much money. And there was a conspiracy that said Don hadn't really died and that he was coming back as a Russian. And so Don orbited the Earth again and again, 14 times each day. And Don Astronaut orbited the Earth for months. And Don Astronaut orbited the Earth for decades. And Don Astronaut orbited the Earth for 53 years before he died, a very lonely and crazy man, just the shell of a thing with hardly a spark for a soul. Turn to that same person next to you and tell them what the heck you think this is about and why I read it to you. Anyone want to know what the story means? I don't know, so I'm not going to tell you. Here's some more lessons. Lessons about family from geese. In case you didn't get some of that, here's a couple lessons we learned from geese. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates an updraft and it ensures that you can travel 71% further. So if you could get to, if you're heading to Durban, and if you could have got to Germiston or maybe to Heidelberg, you'd be able to actually fly to Durban. That's how powerful it is. It's like five times more flying range. The challenge for us is to help each other. Not like bite each other and scratch each other's wings and pull each other's back and like lasso the bird and pull them back. They like create this updraft to go together. This is incredible. I mean, I don't know if they're the brightest animals on the block, but they certainly seem brighter than humans. Because when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels that resistance of the air and it quickly moves back into formation. It's important to stay where God has placed us, where He's planted us, where we have friendships and encouragement. And when we're out on our own and the enemy comes against us, that's quite scary. Another principle of these wise geese, when the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into the formation and another goose goes and takes the lead. It's not always the same old goose, though. Just don't forget the front goose is doing all the hard work, right? If William was here, he'd tell us about people that run out in front in races and they like set the scene. They don't so much break the wind. There might be a little bit of that, unless they're making winds. But that's for another Sunday about cleanliness and godliness. But what you do is you take turns going forward and back. So we need to take turns leading. It's not always the same person up front all the time. Another thing the geese do is they fly in formation and then they honk to each other like honk, honk. But it's not just honk all the time. There's honk, 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 honk. Each one of those means something different. Do you want to know what each of those mean? Basically, it's keep going, but in different dialects, okay? And so basically, you're encouraging people leading. So we want to hear a lot more. I saw the word quality honking up there, okay? Not like honk, okay? Because that's for another Sunday on cleanliness and godliness. We'll come back to that next term. And then when a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot down, because it's cool to shoot geese. I mean, whether it's a pellet gun or pump action, I mean, it's just an awesome feeling, you know what I mean? So when you shoot one and they drop out of formation, two other goose will go down, follow it down, check with it. Chin, how you doing, buddy? Oh, your head shot off. Don't worry, we can fix it. You know, we'll pray for you, whatever. They stay with it until it dies, like, woohoo, burial, funeral, food, whatever. And then they fly again. And then maybe this goose catch up with that group. Not if you care for someone for 6 months, because then those geese are gone. They're in Canada. Oh, no, these are Canadian geese, by the way. Then they maybe join a new formation, and they try something new with that. So we need to care for the wounded. I heard someone once say that the only army in the world that shoots its wounded is the church. We would never leave a wounded soldier in Angola. We would protect it. I once got shot at more times than I care to remember because we were trying to keep some people alive. And we were not allowed to leave, and the pesky enemy kept on shooting at us. Well, why didn't we just run away and shoot the guy? Sorry, Chris, you're like, psh, you know, we can't stay with you. I'm going to lose my life. No, we look after the wounded. We don't shoot the wounded. Drag them to safety by the scruff of their neck if necessary. But don't shoot each other, okay? Now, I want to take you to some lessons about family from the book of Acts. Listen to this amazing passage. And what I want you to look for is what we're not doing in this. Not what we are doing. This is the first church. Just after Jesus has gone back to heaven, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Turn to that dude next to you, or dudette, and talk about something you see that we should be doing more, that we're not doing enough to be a spiritual family. Does anyone have an idea of something we need to do more of to be more of a family? Anyone? Jess? Not spending enough time with each other? At home, away from here. Cool. You kind of see that in the, they met together every day. Vincent? Say again? Instead of breaking the bread, we're breaking the rules. Someone else? Good. Another idea of what we can do to increase the sense of family? There we go. Let's hear from you. Hey. Share our possessions, sell our expensive stuff, our Echo hoodies, and then give it to anyone with need. Cool. There'll be a box at the back afterwards. We could just sell the lost property at the back. By the way, if you've ever lost anything, it's in the box. Grace. Wonders and miracles, seeing more of that, praying for that and experiencing that, and not just like, oh, shame, you're sick. Sucks to be you. Okay, can you see how that's the sense of family in the book of Acts is challenging us forward? I want to define or help you understand a bit more about spiritual family. That was an awesome, I'm not sure, Andrew, did you do this? You're an absolute legend. He takes our pictures, people in the church, airbrushes them and makes everyone look really pretty and puts them all together. But I want to tell you about spiritual family. Someone defined it as a place where you can know and be known. It's a place where you can love and be loved. It's a place where you can serve and be served. It's a place where you can encourage and be encouraged. Notice that there's a I do and you do. It's not just it's a place where I get everything, but I need to give. It's a two-way street. I want to be known, but I want to get to know you. I want to love, but I want to be loved. I want to be served, but I need to serve. I want to be encouraged when I'm feeling down, but I need to encourage someone else. Great idea of family. Here's what spiritual family gives us. It gives us encouragement. It's that honking idea. Who's ever been encouraged by being here? Like someone who said something or, you know, because we criticize sometimes, we jump on each other, we slap each other on the back, and that hurt. But I think there's that encouragement. It's like, hey, you can do it. And if you've been anywhere within 20 kilometers of Andrew, you've been encouraged in your life. Because that's just what he does. He doesn't know how. He's a psychotic encourager. Terminally ill with the disease of encouragement. That's what happens in family. Secondly, it's about sharing. Whatever's wrapped up in the brown, in the paper bag, okay? But it's sharing. It's that I need to share what I have with someone else if I hear of a need. Not just like, well, sucks to be you again. You know, you got nothing. Well, I got lots. Yesterday, we were trying to run the seminar, and this guy comes up, and he pulls me out of here, and he's like, sit down, I'll talk to you, I'm hungry. So I was like, just wanting to chase him away. You know, we're running the seminar, and we're teaching, and people from all over Joburg are here. And you know what God said to me? You're doing a seminar just now. Quentin did it on service. Now you want to chase a homeless guy who's not fed. So we invited him to lunch, and we gave him lunch, and he went on his way fed. That's what we're called to do. I'd prefer to just say like, oh, come on, man. Come back later. Come back tomorrow. Come back next month, you know? And then Ecclesiastes 4 says, two people are better than one because they have a good return for their hard work. If one falls, the other can help his friend get up. How tragic it is for the one who is alone when he falls. No one to help him get up. It's like that dung beetle who falls on its back and can't get up and needs the other rhino beetle or whatever to like turf it over. If two people lie down together, they can keep warm, but how can one person keep warm? Okay, that you only do that if you're in the snow, right? And you're dying and freezing. You're not allowed to do that on like regular nights, okay, unless you're married. Though one person may be overpowered by another, two people can resist one opponent. That's what's happening there. Don't fight dragons on your own, because they breathe fire and you need your buddy to run around the side and hit him in the gill or whatever dragons have. The last time I fought a dragon on my own, I got this burn scar, all of my, all that was a skateboard. But there's a scar somewhere, I'm sure. Two are better than one, okay? There's another benefit of family, and that's accountability. And that's just checking us and keeping us each on the straight and narrow. And, you know, if I see something in you, you see something in me, you're like, hey, that wasn't great. You know, you could change that. You know, you put that knife in someone's back, and not only did you put it in their back, but you twisted it. You know, it's bad enough you knife someone, but don't twist it. You know, don't kick them when they're down. And then we can, like, encourage one another and just say, hey, that wasn't great. Sometimes we don't need accountability. We need comfort. And it's not just girls who need comfort. Sometimes guys need to be know that, hey, it's okay. It's going to work out. And you failed horribly. It's okay. You know, you can be 80 in grade 10. It's all right. 18. And then shaping. You know, the idea of a piece of metal being put in the fire until it's red hot, and then someone pounding on it with a heavy instrument, and then putting it back in the cold water and back in the fire. That's the blacksmith honing an awesome sword. It doesn't sound like a pleasant experience unless you're the blacksmith. But even then, you're getting sparks on you. But think of that piece of iron, and we are like that iron, where we're getting hammered into shape. And that happens in family. It happens a lot in family. And this is what's going to happen from now on. You've all enjoyed the linebacker. Well, he's back. Okay, we're not doing any of this linebacker stuff. I'm sure you've got it by now, right? But sometimes you need to say like someone, hey, no, dude, you know, you could probably hold it for the next 30 seconds and go later. Well, that's figurative. Two friends build you up, or true friends protect you and love you enough to tell you when you're wrong. So there's building up, there's encouraging, but there's also that, you know what, you did wrong there, bro. You were out of line, that was nuts, you were dilly, true friends. Okay, and so yes, a couple of things that we can add into our repertoire. Sorry about this. We need to build friendships. And it just starts sometimes with Chloe, I mean this fictional person saying, hi, my name is, you know, my name is Chloe, and oh, yours is Priscilla, that's cool, just for example. You know, and some of you haven't done that much in this place. Family does that, you know? I don't want to wake up one morning and see someone get out of, like, Keegan's room. I'm like, who are you? And the guy says, no, I'm Anthony. Who are you? No, you gave birth to me, like, 16 years ago. Oh, I haven't met you yet. I'm your dad. You know, that's, like, a bit nuts. You know, I need to know Anthony's in the family and yada, yada, yada. Okay, so building friendships. Sorry about this. But talk about interests. Talk about your questions and struggles. That's how we develop family, You know, talk about it, you know. V, I don't know what you were trying to get out of that conversation or on the Guinness record night, but you guys are interacting and hey, I'm struggling with this. This is the place to put that on the table. And then discover needs and help what you can. Obviously, those people are hungry, and so Robert is giving them Maori biscuits, okay, which is not really good healthy food, Rob, but we'll talk about that in another session next term. But looking out for needs, knowing when to sell the shirt or when not to. And then showing love with words and actions. It's not just like, yo, I love you, dude. Hey, love you, bro. Oh, love you more. Love you most. You know, it's deeper. It's like, yeah, have my shirt. Like, I don't want your shirt. Okay, then I'll buy you one from the Hip Hop Connection. You know, that's the kind of stuff we want to see happen if you want to do that to me. And here's an example of a Christian and a Christ follower because there's a difference.
I'm a Christian. I know that Christ died for me, and that's pretty awesome. I'm the perfect example of a Christian. I read my Bible every day, I pray every day, God speaks to me. But if there's something I don't really understand or agree with, I just kind of ignore it. Like Jesus talks about like feeding the poor, there's no poor people, just lazy.
I'm a Christ follower. I wouldn't say I'm a perfect example of a Christian, but I try to, you know, read my Bible, try to pray, talk to God. But sometimes I don't even, you know, hear from the voice of God because I don't listen. And a lot of things in the Bible I don't want to hear, but, you know, I really need to. And, you know, one of those things is, you know, serving others.
Serving others? Christ came to serve us. He died for us. He wants us to be clean and righteous like He is. Bums, they're dirty. Have you seen them? Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Actually, Jesus, you know, calls us to come to Him all messed up, all dirty. I mean, He's here to make us clean, if anything. And, you know, none of us can be clean on our own power and, you know, righteous. That's what Jesus came for. Sorry if you don't, you know, totally get that. But He also calls us just to serve others, to reach out to others, to reach out to people that are hurting, that are in need. And to go out into the world, to get uncomfortable with our lives in Christ, and just to do whatever it takes.
I think you're pushing it a little. Like my favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future."
What I read in the Bible is that Jesus loves us all the same. We're all mess ups. We have our problems, things that separate us from God. You know, even lying or pride, it's all the same. It separates us from God. And, you know, He wants us to go into other countries. It is our problem that other people are suffering if we're not doing something about it. And, you know, He gives us blessings and prospers us so we can bless others. That's what it's all about. It's not about us.
It's all about me.
I'm going to give you a little piece of paper, and we're going to do something really interesting. Don't tell anyone what's on this piece of paper, right? But what you do is you're going to act out a one another command. The Bible is full of one another commandments. And so each person's going to be doing something. The moment you've got it, look at it, think about it, be creative with it. And I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to do this. In case you're wondering what you've been on the receiving end of, you have just experienced one or more of the following. There's one that says, be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. So there was some harmonizing going on. Accept one another. Instruct one another, which is kind of teach. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Who was kissed? Did we have that one? Anyone get that? Holy kiss, kiss on the cheek. Maybe I hit that one out. Agree with one another. Serve one another. Okay, washing of feet, whatever. Help carry one another's burdens. Be patient with one another. Speak the truth to one another. Be kind. Speak to one another with songs. I heard some songs going on. Cool song. Submit to one another. Let someone else have the way. Forgive. Teach and warn. Encourage. Spur one another on. Do what is good. Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another. Yo, anyone confess? Yeah. Who's confessing? Love. Live in harmony. Offer hospitality. Bit hard to do one or two of those right in here. We need to go out and do them in the week, as Jesse encouraged us. Be humble to one another, not proud, puffed up, and fellowship with one another, okay? Imagine what we would become if we did that. And that's our closing challenge. If we practice the one another commands, we would be an incredible family. Even if the 18 group came, I'd say, no, I don't need you. Here's a challenge. Last week, practice 7 in your grow book. Won't you put your hands together for an awesome time of worship as a family now that's going to be taking place in this house?